Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'd add one thing to what Sean Payton said. Young and hungry is dangerous, but when you combine that with an experienced head coach, you've got a roster that's young and hungry and a guy that knows how to do it, calling the shots. Yeah. That adds to the danger.
You think this is a tough draw for Josh Allen in round one?
Absolutely, because of Patrick Surtain. He is a guy that is very much so in the running for Defensive Player of the Year.
I hate the draw that I got with the Denver Broncos. They play great defense. They got a great head coach, a young quarterback who's athletic and accurate. To me, that's the most intriguing game coming up next weekend.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Welcome, Football Monday, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Takes.
Sorry, I can't. I'm really distracted all of a sudden. If you see this on Twitter, I see the Jets are asking to interview you.
Me?
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't know you were a candidate.
I guess I am. I don't know. I don't know anything about
it. My God, they're talking to everybody. The Jets cast a wide net, I guess. I mean, no, I don't need to make jokes. Maybe they'll get somebody good. Like, not Rex Ryan. But, man, the list of people they're talking to runs for a while. They got a long GM and coach both. They got a lot of work to do.
I guess. I saw Kruger on their list, but I don't know if it's going to go as far as to me. He's due for a new sport, I would think, by now. Joe Brady, right?
Right.
That's a thing?
He's on the list, yep.
So you had some people there talking up the Broncos. Here we are. 9-point favorites, the Bills, against Denver. I wanted to get some context on point spreads. Like, nine is that's a healthy number.
Mm-hmm.
9.5. So the bettors, the odds makers, if not also the bettors, are not as fearful of the Denver Broncos as maybe these ESPN hype train guys. How do you feel?
What did I say yesterday? 8 when we talked about it on postgame?
Mm-hmm. Might have started. I think it moved up a little bit.
I'm taking it as a win. ESPN bet still says 8.5. Anyway, whatever. Any team in the playoffs should present a challenge. We didn't exactly get to pick opponents out of the entire playoff pool. I might have picked Pittsburgh right now if we could pick anyone, but it was never really that realistic that Pittsburgh would end up as far down where the Bills would end up seeing them in this round. So of the available ideas, Denver still was my favorite idea, with the caveat of, not knowing about Tua. Miami, without Tua, mean, if they could have found their way to it, but obviously they didn't. They even, I think, said Tyreek Hill wouldn't go back in the game. Like, we knew what the score was. We're done. So it never even got to that. But assuming Tua healthy, which when we started this whole process weeks, if not months ago, I was assuming he'd be healthy, Denver still felt like the best choice. That doesn't mean they don't pose a threat, but I'm going to be playing somebody good. I mean, I can't land on the Carolina Panthers here. I got to play a team that's
interesting,
in the playoffs.
Interesting example. Because
they're kind of a little hot as they finish the year. Yeah, I know.
I think the worst two teams in the AFC playoffs have to be the Steelers and the Texans. Denver, the thing about Denver for me is, so they had like a perfect game yesterday. We were on the post-game show, and at one point, Knicks was 17 for 17 for 183 and 3. Like, what? How much better? You can't do any better than that. They were just, every pass was complete. Chiefs were going 3 and out. It's the backups, but still, like, here was Denver in a must-win game, and they left no doubt. It was yesterday, though. It feels sort of generally in these kind of things right to me to more so ignore the most recent performance. You know, just don't let recency bias get in your head. Still, I got to say something for what they did in a spot where rookie quarterback, still Kansas City, still Carson Wentz. I mean, he's played in big games. Maybe the Chiefs put him, you know, to the test a little bit, and it just absolutely did not happen. So credit to the Broncos for that. I don't know what it means for this game. Maybe nothing.
I'm going to settle on maybe just so I can sleep at night. I'll just admit that up front here that there could be some self-preservation involved here. I'm not going to put any stock in it at all. You know, if they come in here and throw it down the field and get big plays to Mims or something and just have a game in them that I don't foresee against actual starters in a game that the team they're playing really badly wants and needs, you know, then I'll tip my hat to them. I just don't expect them to be capable of doing anything close to what they did yesterday. You know, I don't know what, you know, who was on the field for Kansas City, we know wasn't their best. How motivated they were, we can have no idea. I mean, we can guess as much as we want, as much as to go to the length to say they didn't want to win the game at all because they didn't want Cincinnati in the playoffs. However far you want to go with all that, I just think it's in a season-ending scenario where one team absolutely has nothing and you could convince me they have something to gain, much like the Bills yesterday, by not winning the game. You know, the Bills hurt the division opponent by a few draft slots. The Chiefs keep the Bengals out of the tournament. I don't know if that mattered at all to them or not. But if I were a Chiefs fan, I would have been thinking about whether or not I want the Bengals in to try to take out Buffalo. There's a lot of things you can get lost in. But the bottom line to me is, Kansas City had no reason to do anything other than what they did yesterday, which is show up and play 60 minutes and just get out of there.
I don't think the Bengals, my opinion, mattered at all to Kansas City. It could have, but the game wasn't close anyway. They were going to rest their stars. They did. Denver got out easily, early, game over by halftime, and like that's it. So I doubt the Bengals mattered. I mean, we had these conversations with the Bills for the last month, and just sort of what you can do to affect the field. You can only do so much. You should only want to do so much. Just make sure the Bills succeeded. They lost yesterday, but they were successful in getting to the end of the season without more injury trouble. That was big for you. It was big for a lot of us that they not have what happened last year happen again.
Right.
And so that was a win, right? That they are pretty healthy.
They effectively had a bye. I mean, they had to get on a plane and go to a game, but very many of the key, most of the key men played very little, if at all, in the game. And so, yeah, and I'm assuming that they knew that all week. So it is like a week off going into that game. So you still got to play the three now. But yeah, last year, week 18 hurt them badly. And, you know, we knew by the time they went into week 18, they weren't getting the one, but they needed it for the two in the division. They went into the day perhaps being on the outside looking in if it went a certain way. So very different mental mindset. and physical getting into that game and having to go through it this week, this year anyway, in the final week, they were able to, you know, really effectively do what Kansas City did, which is not bother about the result and not worry about playing guys outside of guys who had, you know, to varying degrees, financial incentives to get out there and do something.
Well, how do you feel? We finally made it to this week. 2-7, Buffalo versus Denver, before the season, middle of the season. You couldn't have asked for too much better. It was always about the one. The Chiefs did not give the Bills any room for that. Just the one loss until yesterday. They didn't mess up at all. They lost the game here, and that was it. So, best you could have done was the two. That happened. And you've got a healthy team. You've got an experienced team. You've got the Chiefs down the road, probably, or at least maybe, in Kansas City. You've got the Ravens. Dare we talk about anybody but Denver? I mean, it couldn't have gone too much better. The only way I think it goes better is if you have the one seed and the bye, of course.
Right.
But they don't have that. And now it becomes a question of how good are they really? Which I do think, like, that's a conversation I'm willing to have, meaning that they're not on their best day what Baltimore is on its best day. And I don't know about Kansas City for this, but Kansas City has three rings. Like, I think the Bills, of course, are capable of beating anybody, but I still wonder if without a turnover advantage, they can beat, not just hang with. Hang with, we've done that. Beat these other top teams. And, you know, that could still happen. They could win without it. They could get that in these games. We have to see. But it's a question for me. There's been pushback from me about everybody eats, you know, and whether that's actually good. I like that they all like each other, you know, that's wonderful. But do they have, like, sort of the go-to plays players in these games? Is the Denver game maybe not one of them? Is that a game where, I mean, they've been favored once this year by 9 or 9.5. And that was the Titans game. So the Broncos are probably a lot better than the Titans, but that's that's a 9-point spread, right? Like the game in week 7 against Tennessee that the Bills won 34-10, they were favored by 9.5 in that game. Nine, it says a lot. Baltimore, by the way, is also favored by 9, 9.5 in their game, which I think is kind of shocking given what Pittsburgh, it says so much about how Pittsburgh looks.
Yep.
Because what they've done against the Ravens over the years, if I'm Baltimore, I don't love it. I don't want to be a 9.5-point favorite. I really don't want to have to play the Steelers, but it is what it is.
I think the rest of the pool, just as a quick sidebar, kind of, we talked about this on Friday, and weren't you like, get me LA in there at the 5. They go to Houston. I like that because then if everybody, you know, as long as the Bills don't get knocked out here, then I got to look at LA going in to Pittsburgh, or going into Kansas City, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's...
If the Ravens win,
if the Ravens win, that's right. The Ravens have to win to make that happen. So I kind of like that. And you got Pittsburgh, Baltimore, and even if Baltimore wins, I think that game still probably takes a toll. Like those are usually heavy, nasty games between those two teams. So I think the bracket looks halfway decent in that respect too. You know, I need one upset that I don't even think really will sound. It wouldn't be an upset. The Chargers are favored in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
So, and if everybody else, if the big seeds win, then you've got to look at that. And that,
well,
so I kind of like that.
What do you think, anybody? What do you think is best and worst? This would be assuming a Bills win, which I just want to put that out as a qualifier. I'm not exactly doing that, but if you look ahead, is it better if Pittsburgh wins in Baltimore and then goes to Kansas City? The Chargers are the only team of the four potential second-round Chiefs opponents I could see winning there. And I would give the Chargers a real chance of winning in Kansas City. I doubt Houston can hack it. I doubt Pittsburgh can hack it. I think there's a Baltimore thing when it comes to Pittsburgh that maybe sort of wakes them up. More so, it's more that the Ravens just get tight. If they're to lose that game, that's how I would see it, is that they just sort of get tight and get behind. So Pittsburgh is like, oh, we could actually win. and then that happens. But if it's the Chargers going to Kansas City, like if you want that, then you would have to have the Ravens win.
You're going
to
deal with Baltimore yourself then.
And then you're playing Baltimore the second week. There's three teams on one tier. And Kansas City's not going to play. So you probably would just think the best chance of a Super Bowl is for Baltimore to lose here, right? And then whatever happens, Pittsburgh, Kansas City, you get
the Chargers,
the 4-5.
Yeah, right, in that winter.
That's got to be better than the Ravens. If the Ravens beat Pittsburgh like and cover by that spread, then everybody's fears, whether they're fears or just like the respect that they get for that team, will be in full bloom going into the game against Buffalo, because they'll have been impressive.
Mm-hmm.
They have the highest upside, I think, of anybody. And so that's what you're dealing with in the second round. I don't hate it for the Bills. I think the Bills might even be favored in that game. Wouldn't they be?
Yes,
at home?
I think so.
Assuming they look good too?
Past playoff performance folded into that, I think, yes. I think they'd be, you know, 2.5, maybe. We'll see if we get there. But that's just that's an early look ahead line.
Yes.
Ravens said Bills divisional
yes.
round.
You want to see if you can get to that three. We will see. 803-0550. Yesterday was sort of nothing.
The only interesting things about yesterday all involved New England to me.
Yeah.
You know, and unless you're, how interesting is it that they put Cook back in to get his touchdown? We'll talk to Eric Wood here in about 45 minutes. I didn't hear what he said at the time on the broadcast. But I know I felt nervous seeing that. It just I felt like that opportunity came and went, and like that's how it goes. That's life in the big city, kid. But they got him back out there and obviously got away with it. I mean, nothing. Hey, he touched the ball twice and got in the end zone, got his touchdown, and sat down. They got him his yards. Then Miller got his sack. Martin got his punt. You know, so we had those things. But, you know, that's only so interesting. You know, McDermott being aware of those things and getting Martin that opportunity to punt from the New England 35, you know, I highly doubt that's something you would see him do in a regular game at this point and eschew a long field goal. But he probably did that for Martin's sake, so good for him. But the New England side of it, May playing one series, Milton looking as good as he did, and then, you know, we're 45 minutes or an hour into our postgame show and Gerard Mayo is fired. So the coach of the team the Bills played and lost to didn't even make it out of our postgame show with his job intact. So that was all way more interesting than anything happened on the Bills side.
Mm-hmm. Patriots falling from 1-4 in the draft order. We have our referee for Sunday. Do you have a name you're hoping for or a name you're dreading? Do you have referees like in your head like that?
I don't. I at times here, especially at this time of the year, I've gotten in the weeds pretty far on, you know, what crew's tendencies are and that kind of stuff. But no, I'm not sitting here hoping against. I don't have a guy that I know. I know there is one who like disproportionately calls penalties against the Bills versus their opponents or something.
Mm-hmm.
I could guess it's Hockley, but that might be the only name I can think of. Cheffers? Is there a Cheffers out there?
There is a Cheffers.
Right.
What a great name.
Who do they have?
They got my favorite ref.
Oh.
Sunday. The guy that, if I'm watching an NFL game, and you don't know who the referee is going to be until the first penalty. You see this guy, you go, oh, this is going to be fine. This is not going to get stupid. This guy's got it.
All right.
He's not one of these showmen. He's not somebody who goes, holding defense, just to get a rise out of you to try to make you, you know, have to eat out of his hand.
He's not wearing the skin,
you don't know.
He's not wearing the skin tight, look at my biceps shirt.
The guy last night, Alan Eck, put the sleeves on, doing it a disservice to everybody. Like, where? Come on, we want him to be ripped, but we don't see it. Was it last night or was it a cold weather game? I think it was a cold weather game.
Last night it was the Bills game. Would have been indoors, so yeah.
Might have been the Bills game. Alan Eck.
Yeah.
No, it's Vinovich. Cheffers.
Bill Vinovich.
Bill Vinovich. Yeah. This is the guy I want. Cheffers is more like he is so above you that he will give you no emotion.
Mm.
It's a monotone. It's like, I do not, go ahead and boo me. I do not care. You could be heckling me right in my face right now. I'm not going to react to it. That's Cheffers. Vinovich, though, just seems like sort of a regular guy. Mm-hmm. He's making the calls, you know? He exudes fairness.
Oh, really? Is that that's what he does?
He's my number one.
He exudes fairness.
I think get back to me in a week, but I say he does.
All right.
I'm a Vinovich fan. If I could buy his jersey.
Look at that.
I don't know his number. I don't think I know any of the officials' numbers. I think Jerry Markbright was 9. Has the show ever sounded older?
Good Lord.
I think he was number 9. Does that sound right?
When's this game?
Tony is on WGR. Hello, Tony.
Hi, how are you?
Good, Tony. Thanks for calling us.
I don't know if this was brought up yesterday, but this came to mind. Do you think that the coach for New England was canned so quickly because maybe the owner and him had some sort of wink-wink agreement to maybe not win?
No,
I don't think so. I mean, it could be. They did cost them, spots in the draft. But I think the way the wind was blowing on this guy indicates that they knew, the Patriots knew. He stepped in it publicly with the media numerous times. And I think when I hear the owner today talking about, I did a disservice to this guy because he wasn't ready for this or something to that effect, I think that's a part of it. So I think he was getting fired no matter what happened yesterday.
Gotcha. I just thought it was so quick. It was like, wow, it's like you want to send a message or something.
Right.
But
I think they meant to lose. I think that's what Milton was by his playing this game. They could have sat May. I think it's kind of weird that they didn't. But like you said on postgame, maybe they want to get a streak going with him. He's into one, and let me just have, I won't get hurt. Give me 3 plays like Allen had one. And so, okay. But they had an out with, they're sitting there with the number one overall pick. They had an out with May. He had a hand injury that they put on the injury report. He hurt his head last week. That was easy. Like, they could have said, it's not safe for him. It doesn't make sense for him to play, which is probably would have been right. But, okay, he ends up starting. Fine. Then they take him right out for Milton. Milton, not Brissett. Brissett would have been more believable. Well, he's the backup, and we're not tanking. This guy's won games in the league, and he's next. No, they don't do that either. Milton, they can justify because he's young, and this is a week where everybody will listen to, we want to see, what the young guys look like. But could they have been expecting him to be really good? I think that probably surprised them. I think that surprised everybody that he was really good in this game. It was backups. It was a situation where it was more possible to be good because the Bills, didn't need the game. But I don't know. Still, like, the Patriots, even trickling down to the head coach, could have easily understood, would have easily understood why losing the game is better. But your guys are going to play their hardest. That never changes. You can't rein that in ever in sports. So that's going to happen. It's just a question of what decisions do you make with the roster? And for me, playing their number 3 was, okay, well, how well can this really be expected to go? And then they go and win anyway. So I think that they had losing in mind. Not like we will definitely lose. You can never control that. But I think they had losing in mind when they went to Milton and he just went and did really well. And that was enough. The Bills, when the Bills went to Mike White, they couldn't get a first down in the second half, which, I think is also fine. The Bills were fine for doing that, I think.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
The only thing that surprised me about the Bills really was, like I said yesterday, as the game got late and they were down 4 and then eventually 7, but it's 20-16 on New England's late possession there, and the Bills used their timeouts.
Like they were still trying to play to win the game.
Yeah, because that's what you would do if you were playing for real. And I don't know, McDermott might have gone back and forth in his mind about like sort of what looks bad here. It may not have meant much of anything to him, what New England's draft status was, which, who knows? I don't know that answer, but say what you want about that. So he uses the timeouts. The Bills get another turn and then just go, 4 and out again anyway. And that's the game. So 13-4 is the final record. It is all about Denver. Does anybody who wants to offer a Denver take? You watched them yesterday after the Bills game was over. You saw Bo Nix distribute the ball to Nate Adkins, Jaleel McLaughlin, Troy Franklin, Devon Vele, Javonte Williams, Marvin Mims Jr., Lil Jordan Humphrey, Audric Estime, and Cortland Sutton. In that order, as they ended up, by the time Sutton got his first touch, the game was already over. Like, it was a bomb and 14-0, and like that was it, 38-0 the final. Do you respect Denver, and to what extent? 803-0550 for your calls. Buffalo Football Monday. Eric Wood at 4, Sal Capaccio at 5. At 6, it's the Sabres, the Steve Foley Law pregame show, home versus Washington. Thanks for listening. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. Lines open, WGR.
We've worked really hard for this. You know, quite honestly, opening the season, nobody expected us to do this, but, you know, we didn't really listen to that. We just came out there and put a lot of games together, and we've lost a few tough ones, but we've also won some big ones, so this team deserves it.
Bo Nix, as a rookie and a full-time starter from week one into the playoffs. Josh Allen for the year, 63.6%, 3,731 yards, 28 touchdown passes, 6 interceptions. Nix, 66.3%, 3,775 yards, 29 touchdown passes, 12 interceptions. MVP? Is Bo Nix the MVP? Mm-hmm. I'll get you something else on Denver here in a minute. 803-0550, Football Monday on WGR. Let's go to Chris here. Hi, Chris.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling us.
So I saw the first half of that Broncos game, and I listened to the beginning of the show, cold open. That's just hot takery from the national crowd that just, I feel like they hold on to this narrative that first they're trying to sound smart, right? So they just look at the schedule and go, oh, that's good defense, interesting, but or whatever, but without much rationale. But the Broncos are really mediocre on offense, any measurable. Like Mike mentioned the spread, I think that's an appropriate spread. But if you look at anything from like PFF ratings to overall EPA, they're severely average on offense. They don't really scare me at all. I think it's just national guys trying to, you know, sound cool. If they're right, then they'll look good in, at the end. I'm not worried about the Broncos. However, the Chiefs live rent-free in my head. They always will. Despite us beating them, I know that we're capable of beating them. I am well aware that we beat them in the regular season. I'm looking forward to Sunday, but it's tempered because I know what's likely ahead. And the last thing I wanted to say was, I think it was Bulldog, you said that you'd like to see the Chargers play KC if that worked out. I do too. They always play them tough. I went back and looked over the last 9 or 10 matchups. There's been a touchdown or less difference between the two of them, win or loss. There's like one outlier, but, you know, it averaged out to about, quick math, like 6 points. And, you know, Harbaugh is annoying, but he is a good coach, and I could conceivably see them having a good game plan for KC. So, anyway, that's where I'm at.
I did say that earlier. I've co-opted that from my partner here. Like, he was on that last Friday. Like, you know, looking at the bracket, who could beat KC Chargers, and I tend to agree. I don't like if the alternative is Pittsburgh going in there and doing it, I mean, I have a very hard time seeing that. Even if they have enough to beat Baltimore, that's like a very particular matchup that if they can manage to win it, I doubt it's going to have me feeling like, oh, they're rolling now. Look out, KC. Here come the Steelers. I don't know. If they beat Baltimore, I think it's going to be what's your score for Baltimore-Pittsburgh?
18-16.
Yeah, fine. 16-15, something like that. It's going to be that, I think, if they can do it.
If they win 100%, it'll be the Ravens blew it. It'll be turnovers. It'll be, I don't know, field goals. It'll be something that Baltimore didn't do. And that's the Bills game, too. Like, think about, we've spent almost 12 months here on getting to the top How do the Bills do it? What has to happen? Everything. And they've had a very good season, almost the best you could have asked for. 13-4, they're healthy. They had a running back in James Cook tie the franchise record. Allen is the favorite to win the MVP. They did not have a clear number one receiver, and they won as many games as they ever did with Diggs here anyway. Like, you really did have about the best season you could have asked for. You have to beat the Denver Broncos. Like, the Ravens' point is the pressure is on. The Ravens have lost in the playoffs too many times, and now they're playing a team that everybody thinks is dead. It happens to be their biggest rival who's given them a headache, but they have to win it, and that isn't easy for everybody. I think Jackson is somebody who's shown that he can get in his own head, and he's had rough games in the biggest moments, so they have to avoid that. The Bills, it's not their Denver, whoever their Denver is, Miami maybe, but Miami has been dominated by the Bills. I don't even know if there is a team, but they can't lose to Denver.
No.
They can't lose to Bo Nix in the first round. Like, one way or another, they have to get by. And then, if they do, and especially if Baltimore does, then it becomes amazing. Like, that's the second round, and it's the two teams that mostly have the same story over the last 5 years. Great quarterback, great record, mm-hmm. but, and Kansas City maybe will get the winner. So the Bills or the Ravens will have to beat the other, and then the Chiefs, to get to the Super Bowl. It's always supposed to be hard. It's supposed to be hard.
Yeah, not that the game, if it comes to that, a week from this Sunday or Saturday, between the Bills and Ravens, it doesn't have a bearing on the MVP, but we won't know the winner yet, and that'll be the two guys. I mean, it's really, I think, come down to that. It's Allen and Jackson at this point, and that can still be debated here as we go forward, but no more data is to be accumulated and used to decide it. But yet, we'll be watching the two of them play, again, if it comes to that.
Did you hear yesterday? I know you did. You were in here with me. The CBS sideline reporter... I got to look up her name. It's a long... Aditya Binkawala. I'm going to get it wrong. She has an MVP vote.
Yes, I heard her say that.
They asked her about... Yeah. I think she might have been in Pittsburgh. She's been a writer.
I know her from Andrew's show. Our buddy Andrew Filipponi, who does this gig in Pittsburgh. Yes.
Aditya Binkawala.
Okay.
Respect. I'm sorry that I didn't get it right the first time. But she has an MVP vote. And, I mean, she had a tough time, I thought, yesterday... She basically didn't. She said she didn't know who she was going to vote for yet. She said it was down to Allen and Jackson, and then she sort of went through the paces, like sort of the things mm-hmm. you can think about and talk about. Who rolls to their left? Who I don't know what she meant by that, but you're just trying to get out of it. Right. You don't want to have. I don't know what I'm going to do yet. I'm not going to tell you. She did say first of all, which is right. Like, you're not supposed to say until it's over.
Right. So the last thing I want to do here is say enough words that will even give you an idea of if I'm leaning
right.
one way or the other. Like, please take it back. Back to you guys in the booth.
But she's one voter who said it's impossibly hard. Ryan is next. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, guys. I think we probably win this game 4 out of 5 times. But what's crazy and what makes me nervous is if you lose, it's all over. The whole season's over, which... is a different feeling going into a game, even though you're heavily favored. So just thinking about, well, what could be that 1 out of 5? It could be a fumble. It could be they come in with a really good game plan. And again, if you lose, it's over.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the playoffs. I think, it's always tricky to me. tricky. But, for weeks, if not, again, maybe more than a month, Denver, 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 Denver. No Cincinnati, no Miami, Denver, 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 Denver. And you get Denver, and I think people might assume because you were rooting for that you think it's a cakewalk. And I don't think anybody – it's the NFL. We'll see. I mean, I like this matchup for a variety of reasons that we will get into, I think, as the week goes on. Bo Nix has had a nice year. They have not really beat anyone all year long. I mean, they beat the Chiefs yesterday. They were within a ridiculous blocked field goal of beating the Chiefs for real a few weeks back, but didn't. And go look at their schedule. Tampa, the Jets, Raiders, these are the wins. Saints, Panthers, Falcons, Raiders again, Browns, Colts. I mean, they're not a team that really, to me, has been tested severely. I throw yesterday completely out. So we'll see if they can, you know, how their pass rush can deal with this Bills offensive line. That's one area I already like. I respect what Denver's done. A lot of sacks, I think, led the league in sacks. Brown and Dawkins have been money. That line has done a great job protecting Allen, and if it breaks down, Allen can usually get out of there. So, you know, this game comes around, and it's, you know, 1:30 on Sunday afternoon, and Denver's edge guys are beating the doors off the Bills' offensive line, I'll be a lot more worried. But I'm going to have to see them do that first because I don't like their chances. The Bills have been locked up front.
Only sacked 14 times all year, Allen, and 6 interceptions. Really good. I think as we start the week here, I think the Broncos are better than you do. You only can play who you play, right? So those opponents are not great. There's no argument. Since week 9, so they went to Baltimore in week 9. They lost by 31. They're 5-4. We could look up the reverse AFC power rankings. It's not going to be pretty on Denver, right? We took us a long time. Maybe we're still not there to sort of respecting Denver.
Mm-hmm.
Week 10 is the game in Kansas City. They lose on the blocked field goal. That would have been a pretty good win. They lose on the blocked field goal. Week 11, they beat Atlanta 38-6. It's 38-6. Week 12, they beat the Raiders by 10. Week 13, they beat the Browns by 9. That was a Monday night game where Winston threw 2 pick sixes and for a ton of yards, right? I mean, threw for 475 yards or something in that game, but the Broncos win it. Bye week, then they beat Indianapolis. That was not a great day for them. 31-13 was the final. They were down at halftime against the Colts, but pulled away 5 takeaways. They lose to the Chargers on a Thursday night. Good game, 34-27. Pretty even game. They had the game in Cincinnati last Saturday, week ago Saturday, that they lose in overtime. I thought that was a great job that they forced overtime in that game.
Like, mm-hmm.
I thought they were done, whatever it was, 24-17 or whatever it was, and Knicks drove them to the tying score. And then it's yesterday. They finished with plus 114 point differential. And yesterday they were perfect, you know? That's not an easy spot for every team. You're playing a team that's won championships, mm-hmm. and you're brand new, and they made it look easy. So I'm not so much leaning into who they played because that is just what it is. They played the NFC South, right? I mean, that's not going to be great. But they did win pretty easily, and they end up with some really nice numbers. Should it be good enough to win here? I don't know. They are the last team to do it in the regular season to win in Buffalo, to beat the Bills in Buffalo. The Bills are the last team to win a regular season game here, but the Broncos are the one before them on that Monday night last year. I don't know if that game helps very much. I don't think it's, for me, about that happened. Like, that was kind of a fluke.
Yeah, I mean, you're very much a different team on offense than you were that day. I mean, that's Dorsey's last day, and that's still Diggs here, and, you know, the whole cast from last year, and that's all been turned over. So I just and really style wise, they're doing things that they did not do last year. You don't have to love it, but parallel, the screen game, like wide receivers included, was not something they did much, if at all, last season when they would have played Denver. So I think it's a very different team going into this game, the Bills.
I also think quickly, both teams have had an opportunity to prepare for each other here in the last couple of weeks. We started talking about the Broncos 2 weeks ago. Like, this is the team that's lined up for this game. They could still could be the Bengals, still could be the Dolphins. This is the one. And, you know, the Bills probably, like, scout everybody. They have the whole thing where somebody there is like the GM of each team, and it's so broad. But they could have had their eyes on the Broncos for a while. And I think vice versa.
Yeah, I think once the Broncos lost to the Chargers, the week before Christmas.
Right.
Maybe they could have like said, well, we're probably not going to, you know, if we make it, we're not catching them. So let's just fall back. And because they would have head-to-head, they lost both matchups to the Chargers.
Yep.
So let's just try to get in. And yeah, you would have been right. I think if you're spending any time at all on future opponents there, the Bills would have been the team you should have been focused on, I think.
Football Monday, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. The Sabres host Washington tonight, pregame at 6. Before that, Eric Wood and Sal Capaccio. Still to come, this is WGR. The Monday after the NFL regular season ends is both these days for us, playoff matchups and excitement. Then it's also coaching changes around the league and some upheaval. And here we are again where the Bills' offensive coordinator appears to be attractive to teams with vacancies, namely the Jets and the Saints. Those are the two I've seen that might not be the whole list. Teams that have asked to talk to Joe Brady, which I assume they will be able to, by phone?
Yeah, or Zoom. Or something. Yeah,
I think StreamYard?
But I'm not sure, because the Bills don't have a bye, how soon that can happen. Like, there's all kinds of rules, and I can't possibly begin to unpack them all. But I believe that the coordinators on the teams that have the bye are at more liberty to do, like, nothing in person, but, you know, Zoom phone call type stuff. But I don't know about a team that's getting ready to play a game this week. So you might have to wait on some of these guys.
You might, or maybe it's tomorrow, which is the Bills' off day this week. It is 1 o'clock. That's not surprising. We were guessing at the schedule grid there over the course of the last week. I thought, again, just a guess, Green Bay at Philadelphia would have outranked Washington at Tampa, but I'm not sure outranked is the right way to think of it. Like Fox
may have outranked NBC.
Maybe. I think Washington at Tampa is fine. I think Green Bay at Philadelphia is a much better
me too.
Matchup. And then everything else went exactly like I thought. The AFC South is always first. Monday night, 4-5 NFC. Didn't need the outcome of Detroit, Minnesota to determine that. Either way, and Bills at 1 on Sunday works.
Ravens Steelers Saturday night, get that.
On Prime,
right.
I'm going to miss it. I think I'm going to miss it.
Oh, yeah? That's too bad.
Oh, no kidding.
Can't watch it on your phone?
So, Prime is my wife's account, which I could,
sure.
I use it at home, but I don't have any, I'll even go to Whole Foods and not enter in a number. It's her number.
I see. Yeah.
I'll eschew. It's your word from earlier. I'll eschew the discount.
Did I say eschew?
I think so. Did I? Maybe I did.
I don't think I
said eschew the field goal.
Eschew. I don't know. Anyway.
I forego the discount.
So you don't. Okay.
But I don't know. Maybe. Well, I'll be out of the country.
You have options.
That game is either a blowout or Pittsburgh wins.
I think that's probably right. If it's tight, doesn't Baltimore get tight? Like the longer it goes, right? If it's one of these, you know, NFC North Steeler Raven games where there's a couple of turnovers and a missed field goal here or there, and you know, it's just maybe the weather isn't great. And the longer that game goes, the more tense I think Baltimore gets if it's that kind of game. Whereas if Pittsburgh looks like they've looked for, is it 5 in a row that they've lost going into the clubhouse here? I think it is. Maybe it's only 4. Anyway, their offense just looks
4
really bad. So, you know, if the game starts and it's like that and the Ravens get up a couple scores, yeah, then I think it's just boat race time.
They were 10-3. They lost the last 4 games. Eagles, Ravens, Chiefs, Bengals, not easy.
Right.
Didn't get above 17 points in any game. Let's get Adam in quickly. Hi, Adam.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Hey, I had a question. I was wondering, I noticed like the last couple of years that in the playoffs, it seems to be some constant Fugazi playoff motivation, like with the Burrowhead and the tickets and stuff. I was wondering if the Bills might tap into that with, oh, they were the last ones that went on our turf in the regular season. Oh, John Elway said, passed on Josh Allen in an interview. But I noticed this more and more with this like Fugazi playoff motivation, trying to find anything from anywhere. Someone said on some podcast somewhere in, or ancient history. I don't know what your thoughts were on stuff like that.
I couldn't care less about any of it. Generally speaking, I don't care about any of it. And that's not the Bills are above doing it. But when the Bengals flipped out about the Bills selling tickets, when the Bengals were selling tickets, like, it's all just nonsense. It's like politics to me. I just can't even process it and take a side because I think everyone's an idiot about stuff like that. So just I pretty much tune it out. I don't know. The Bills to me are a serious professional operation. I don't think they need a bulletin board or Broncos fans chanting they want the Bills or any such nonsense. They know what's in front of them. They know what they have failed to do here 4 years running.
They should.
So to me, it's the least of my concerns about them being mentally right for this game. I mean, I just think they've been building. I mean, we've been focused on it for months, if not the whole season. And I think, in a way, even though they'll tell you 1 week at a time and all this stuff, they know what the score is. So I just can't imagine them needing anything extra to get ready to play any of these games coming up here.
I think if they do, it's probably not a great sign. Thanks for the call. We'll have Eric Wood next here on WGR.